Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
Well, today our subject is love. What a great subject. But it's more than that. Our subject actually is love, the purpose of life. Love, the purpose of life. So we're going to get into probably the greatest, grandest subject that anybody could ever talk about. So get ready. Here we go. Are you ready for it? Here we go. Number one. Here it is. God created the heaven. Oh, why did he do that? I mean, what's the whole idea? Look at the scripture. Thou art very great, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Why does he do that? Why has he got all this great enterprise going on? That's the question. He telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Oh my goodness. Why is he doing this? What's behind? What's the motive? What's the ultimate intention that God would have to create all of this? Look at this scripture. Lift up your eyes and high, and behold, who hath created these things? Well, I think we know the answer, who to create it, but the answer question is why? Why did he do that? He brings out their hosts by number. I mean, who? You ever looked at the skies? I hope you have. I know that when we live in a lot of light, it's hard to see it. So we need to turn the lights out and take a look. But look at this, the heavens. They declare the glory of God. The scripture says they declare, they show the greatness of his being and of his power. The heavens declare the glory of God. He calls them all by names. Now that takes a lot. He does this by the greatness of his might. He calleth them all by names. Look at this. For he is strong in power and not one fails. He's got it under control. He knows what's going on. And then he made the earth. And this is a big one. Now it's starting to get down close to home, isn't it? So the question then is, why? Why did he make the earth? That's the question. Out of what motive? What was behind this creating of the earth thing? And we know it because we live here, don't we? And so diversity in the continents of the earth and the nations and the waterways and the airspace, and he made the earth. And then he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. He wanted us to be able to see it. I don't know about you, but I've stood there by the hour gazing stars, asking myself why. In fact, when I was a teenager, I wasn't a Christian until I was 18. Let me tell you a little bit of a story. I met a girl who was the real deal at a Christian camp. And I mean, there was no fooling around, no hanky-panky. She was the real deal, real Christian. You know what I'm saying? And she said to me, she said, you know, if you want to find God, you're going to have to go where God is. I said, oh, I don't know where that is, but I'd be glad to find him. And after spending a few days talking with her, I used to park my, I'm going to date myself now, 1953 Chevrolet on what's called Mile Hill outside the little town, pitch black, and I would lay on the hood of my car and stare at the skies and wonder, why is all this here? What is really going on? And it was in one of those things I decided, oh my goodness, I couldn't stare much longer without realizing the greatness of his being and the wonder of his power. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day showeth speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. See, made the earth. So why is he doing this? Why did he create the heavens and the earth? Why did he create the earth? And then a verse I've already started to quote, day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And how come? What's really going on? Why is God creating all of this? And why are there people? Why? Now, I want to take you to a very uncommon scripture. Because here's what the scripture says. But ask now. Ask the beasts of the field, and they will teach you. Whoa. Ask the beasts of the field. They know what's going on. Oh, if we only had time to go through all of the creation. Oh, my gosh. Can you, every one of these beings, these beasts, are simply outlets for the creative personality of God. But the question keeps coming back to us, well, why? 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 That's the question. So what's he saying? He said, if you want to know the answers to life, ask the beasts of the field. And then he says, you should also ask the fowls of the air, and they will teach you. They'll tell it to you. The birds know what's going on. And in fact, he says, speak to the earth, and it will teach you. I mean, every plant, every animal, every insect, every one of them has an answer. And he says, even the fishes of the sea, hey, they know what's going on, and they can declare it unto you. You've got to understand the why. Why did God create all of this? Why did he do this? Who is there that does not know that in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Wow. What great power, what great strength. Now it goes on. And here is what it says. It says, in whose hand is a soul of every living thing, the breath of all mankind. Wow. But we got to come to the question, why did God do this? Is there any of us who are willing to say, but apparently none, for the scripture says, none saith, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night? Where is he? Where is God? And why is he doing what he's doing? Now, let me take you a little bit farther. He said, ask the beasts of the field, they'll tell you, and the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the air, and the earth shall teach you, right? But there's even a better teacher than that. And so here we have it, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the fowls of the air. Oh, yeah. That's what he does. And the question becomes why. And so we have gone from the vastness of space in these few moments of time through our galaxy to our planetary system and to the earth and the creation of man. And we ask the question, why does God do this? And the picture gets really tougher to understand now. Uh-huh. For the people, it's like they have gone sideways. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Madness is in their heart while they live. And nation ends up fighting against nation and ruler against ruler and over and all the turmoil and the anxiety and the hatred and the vengeance and the dog eat dog Everybody's trying to outdo the other. Grab, clutch, grasp. So why does God put up with it? Now add to that, all kinds of nations rising against nation and wars, and there'll be rumors of wars. Wow. Families get busted up. Can you imagine that? Where love ought to be, there's hatred and dissension, and over 42% of marriages fail, and the kids pay the price for this. It's the children. So why does God allow all this stuff to go on? Why? Now I want to show you the answer. The answer to the why of the universe. Why the planet Earth? Why the people? Why does God respond the way he does? And here's the answer. Because God is love. Everything he does proceeds out of the essential nature of his character. God is love. So if you were God and you created the galaxies and the earth, and wow, what a job you did on the earth, all the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the plants, the food, the fishes, the whole of it, right? And then this culture turned on you and on one another. What would you do about it? And so this is where we understand what the cross was really all about. For it was in this that we manifested the love of God towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Might live through him. And here it is, his love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Love. If you had to describe God in one word, that word would have to be love. If you were to describe the Bible in one word, that would have to be love. If you had to describe a Christian in one word, that word would also have to be love. Because that's what he wants. That's what he's like. And that's why he says to us, I want you to love one another just like I have loved you. I want you to walk like I walked and live like I lived and treat people the way I treat people. So we're coming down now to the real subject of the moment for us. Love, the purpose of life. How do we know that? Well, let's take a look at the scripture. Here it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind. And this is the first great commandment. Now, you can properly determine that the big commandment, the number one, the ultimate commandment, has to do with the purpose of life. And this is it. Thou shalt love. And why, if some people are hard to love, but certainly not the Lord. So love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now watch this, because it proceeds to there. For the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor just like you love yourself. Love. The purpose of God, the purpose of life, the purpose of the universe, and the purpose of our relationships with one another. In fact, the scripture says, on these two commandments hang all the rules. Everything that the prophets taught, everything hangs on these two basic instructions. Love the Lord and love one another. Let's look at a translation, though. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on anybody's list. Love's number one. Watch it now. But there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. Why? Because these two commands are the pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs on them. It's all about love. So God loves you. And his purpose for you even being in it is you are the object of his affection. Remember the question in, I think it's Psalm 10. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? Who are you that God would love you? The truth of the matter is, he's crazy about you. You are the object of his affection, and he wants us to learn to treat each other the way he treats us, and that's why he comes with this scripture and says, beloved, let's love one another. Why? Because love is of God. I mean, we're not talking about lust. We're not talking even about casual friendships. We're talking about genuine love. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. And he that loveth not does not know God, because God is love. And so that's the issue of our day. I want us, and I want you, to discover that the purpose of your life is to love. I'm going to show you why it should be the purpose of your life in just a moment. But let's go with a definition of love. So here we go. You ought to jot this down, at least memorize it, or write it down and memorize it later. I don't know how you work, but look at this now. Love is the relentless. It doesn't quit, doesn't start and stop. The relentless, caring pursuit of the highest possible good for God, his creation, and every person, no matter about their situation, a relentless, caring pursuit of what is the highest good for God and every person in every situation until it becomes a present tense reality. It is choosing the highest good of another. Constant, relentless, pursuing it for God, for his creation, and for every person in every situation until it, in fact, becomes a present reality. So, let me conclude now with 10 reasons why love should be the purpose of your life and of mine. Number one, because it is superior to all communication skills. Comes now the scripture and says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In fact, look at a translation. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. Tongues of men, if no matter how many languages you learn, or tongues of angels, because they have languages too. And if you could put verb and noun together and sentence and structure and phrase and prose, and if you could sway audiences with your skilled speaking ability, But you don't have love. If I don't have love, nothing. Because you see, it's this simple. Love is superior to all speaking abilities, communication skills. Number two, it's superior to being super smart. It's better than every kind of intelligence you can imagine. Look at this. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand, look at this now, not just a mystery, but look at this, but all mysteries. And if I had all knowledge, if I knew every word in the dictionary, if I could cite Encyclopedia Britannica, if I could tell the future, and I don't have charity. Ouch. I'm nothing. Take a look at this. If I knew all about what is going to happen in the future, if I knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Why should love be the purpose of life? Because it's superior to speaking skills and because it's superior to all the smartness of science that you could ever put together. In fact, it's superior to all other powers. Look at this. If I had the faith so I could move mountains, and I have not charity, nothing. If I have sufficient faith so that I can remove a mountain, but have not love, I am nothing. I'm a useless nobody. Nothing else counts but love. And now, this one might surprise you a bit. It's another reason why love is the purpose of life, because it is better than appearing generous to people. Look at this. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I don't have love, I don't have charity, no profit to it, none at all. And look at this. It's greater than any cause you could give your life for, you could die for. For though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profits me nothing. There's a lot of causes, a lot of worthy causes. But though I give my body to be burned, if I sacrifice my blood, sweat, and tears, but I don't have love, it profits nothing. That's why, let's take a look at the translation. Even though I go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I have gotten nowhere. It's better than dying for a cause. In fact, it's better than anything and everything. Nothing can be compared. Everything else, by comparison, profits zero. Nothing. Look how one translation puts it. I gain nothing. The Amplified Bible. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. You see, my friends, these are some of the reasons why love must be the single driving ultimate intention of every. But let me give you three more before we conclude today. Love should be the purpose of your life because it properly controls all behaviors. Let's look here. Hereby know we that we love the Lord. Watch this now. Here's how we perceive that we love God, because or that he loved us, rather. because he laid down his life for us. Remember that? Remember how Jesus said that one amazing line? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And now comes the scripture saying, this is how we perceive that we are loved by God, because he laid his life down for us. Now watch this. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love controls behaviors. Look at this now. Because if someone has the goods, the world's goods, affluence, money, whatever, and if he sees his brother has a need, but shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see, love is what compels us to do what is right all the time, every time. It's why the scripture says that love works no ill to his neighbor. No, I mean, love controls behavior. Therefore, look at this now. Love is the fulfilling of the law. What does that mean? It means all the rules that you would normally have aren't even necessary if you love, because love will fulfill all of them. In fact, the scripture says you want to make sure you have this stuff, because this is what perfection is. Put on charity, love. It is the bond of perfectness. Wow, my goodness. So you see, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is a 10. I mean, love is a 10. It controls properly all behavior. And then the scriptures indicate the superlativeness of love. Look at that scripture now. The end of all things is at hand. Now watch these instructions. In the last days, perilous times come. The trouble's here, right? So three things. Be sober. Be serious. Doesn't mean be sour, but mean be sober. Watch in a prayer. Make sure you're vertically connected, getting orders from headquarters, right? Watch this now. But above all things, above everything else, have fervent love among yourselves. For love shall cover a multitude of sins. And that brings us to the next one. Watch it now. The superlative of his love. It's above everything else. That's why it's the purpose of life. And it enables a really important discipline. Forgiveness. Above all, everything is a fervent love among ourselves. Here's why. Because love shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, that doesn't mean that love covers up sin. In fact, you know, you get an airplane and you go from my town to another town 1,000 miles away. You cover 1,000 miles. You get over 1,000 miles. That's what love does. That's forgiveness. Love gives you the power to get over all the offenses of everybody else and reach them on the other side. Why would you do that? Because those that deserve love the least are the ones that need it the most. Maybe that's a good reason. Do you remember what Jesus taught us? He said, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for good. Some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Why do you do it? Because of love. The next time we get together, hopefully we're going to talk about the logic of love. And so I'm going to save some of this commentary that I'd like to give you right now, really bad. I'd really like to give it to you right now. See, love enables you to get over everybody's wrong, just like he got over our wrong, and gets to us in spite of how wrong we've been. People have said, "I don't want you, God. Get out of my life. I don't want Jesus Christ." They give God the finger. They tell, "Take your Bible, go to hell," and ah. What kind of response would you get from a person if you treated them that way? Probably not the response you'll get from God, because you know what he does? You can say, "Go away, God, I don't want you." Because remember, Isaiah, remember Revelation chapter 3. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man will open the door, I will come into him." And so when you say, "Go away, God, Jesus, I don't want you," and you curse his name, and you, what does he do? What does love do? Love does what he does. He just keeps on knocking. Because love enables us to get over the transgression of others. Let's look at a translation of this. "Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins." Now watch this, because here's the Amplified giving the explanation. "It forgives and disregards the offenses of others." You know, if only we could love enough, the world will change. What's important, though, for you and for me, is that when we get to the end of the trail, because you know that none of us are getting out of here alive, you might ask yourself, what will count at that time when I take my last breath and I'm gone? What will have counted? All the dollars I've collected in the bank account, all of the real estate, all of the popularity, what will count? God's answer is, what counts is whether or not we loved. Because love is the primary purpose of life. It enables forgiveness. Let me give you one more translation of this. "Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Because love makes up for practically anything." Like, it is above everything else. Oh, let's go back. Because this is based on a Proverbs verse. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all. How many sins? All of it. Gets over it. To reach the person who doesn't deserve it, but that's what love does. It reaches the person on the other side. It enables forgiveness. And finally, the reason it should be your life purpose and mine is because it's the only profitable purpose in the long run and the scheme of things. Because love, you see, is the diametrically opposite to selfishness. Selfishness is getting and grabbing for self at the expense of the whole world. Me and mine, grabbing, clutching, grasping. Love is the opposite. Love is interested in giving and not getting. It understands the words of the Master when he says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Love should be the purpose of life, because at the end of life, it's the only thing that will really have counted. It's the only real profit. That's why the scripture asks this question: what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but lose a soul? Or What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How much money? What will it take? So what is this love like? So let me just quote for you from, I love the J.B. Phillips translation, so here it is. This love of which I speak, slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It's not possessive. It's not anxious to impress. Nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love is good manners. Does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when truth prevails. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. Because, you see, love never fails. It is the purpose of life. And my hope today for you is that you'll consider these things, these deep things. Every one of us is in some way a philosopher. We all gotta go through it. And when you do, I hope you'll think about God's philosophy. Smart. It really is smart. It really counts to make love the purpose of your life.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.